All right, let's get started. We're running late over here. Okay, yeah. Okay, we're holding on Bays and with Bays. Omer of Chanina Misura.
Bays
and with Bays. Eight lines on the bottom. Okay, we learned yesterday a machloikus about how many aidim you need for kinuri, how many you need for stira, and we said everybody agrees that one aid is enough for tova. In particular, we had two opinions in our Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, both of whom said you need two eidim for kinui. There was a machlokas how many you need for stira to make the drink the soda water. And then we had at the very end we had Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda who said in the name of Rabbi Eliezer the other way around that for kinui you only need one aid or even no aid, just the husband's word. So in that connection, Amar of Chanina Misura, Loilema initially it said is not as a man should not nowadays say to meaning nowadays when there's no Bais Hamikdash, say to his wife, Loiti Sos Adiplani, don't seclude yourself with so and so. Don't be Makane to your wife. Even without Adim. Dum of Kaimala instead of Yesiv Yehuda, do I'm a kinu apiatma, because it might be that the halacha is like a Yesiv Yehuda, since the halacha has not officially been decided how many Adim you need, the halacha might be like a Yesiv Yehuda. The Omar Kinui Afiatma, he says that Kinui can even work, that it's a valid Kinui, even if the husband just does it on his own, without any aging. Only Statura, therefore, later on, she secludes herself with this guy. And again, you know, like we talked yesterday, you could even have a case where she thinks it's okay to seclude herself, and usually it might be, for example, by Lover Eid or whatever, but here, because there was Kinui, then it doesn't. Nowadays, there's no Mesot to test her, then he's making her also to him forever.
If he doesn't want to check it, he has to.
If he doesn't want? No, that's the thing. Once she's Nister, once there's been Kinner with Sira, she's also to him. The only thing that can make her mutter is Mesot. No Mesot, she's also to him.
What's the difference? If he needs Machshava, he has thoughts that his wife may have secluded herself in Kripa.
Because without Kinui, Stira has no effect. Without Kinui, the only thing that can answer to her to him is actual tumor, AJ tumor, or at least, okay, we talked about Yuvamas, if there's AJ Kiyur, if there's Adim, for example, that they found, somebody is leaving the house and she's lacing up her clothes or whatever, you know, things like that. But
the Gemara didn't examine whether or not the sole thought of having a
doesn't matter, no, because thought is not, of course a thought is nothing. No. We're talking about saying, Alpi Sasri Mishplain. And the first we talk about a good deal, why is Rav Chanina saying it's only a problem nowadays? In the time of the Bais Hamikdash when they had Mesot, so what? They wouldn't necessarily have passed him like Rav Yosi B'Yehuda either. So then she can't drink the Mesot, and she would be also, though. And then they discuss, on the other hand, why is it a problem? Why is it a problem only nowadays? Why wouldn't it have been a problem? Is Mancha Bais Hamikdash Ayakayim? One interesting answer the Chalchus Machlokes gives on Shulchan Aruch and Eben Ezer is he says, because in the time of the Bais Hamikdash, there would have been a way around it. Suppose the husband was mekaneh to his wife, bein el bein atzmoi, and were worried the halacha might be that the valid kinui, you know what he can always do? Be mekaneh to her again in front of two eidim. Then if she does stira, he's able to bring her for the soda water, and then he's able to do gilgul shvua, which we'll talk about later in the Masechta, that in the shvua, the kohen makes her swear that she hasn't been unfaithful to her husband before she drinks the Mesota, there can be included in that thing other things which in and of themselves would not have been strong enough to bring her from Mesota. So therefore, she'll have been Nister not in front of Turegim, after a kinri involving Turegim. That'll be a proper stira according to everybody. Then when it comes to the Shavua, and Moshe Chavish Oysach, etc., he can include by Gilgul Shavua, by the way, were you also Nister and were you also Nitma after your husband originally warned you on his own without aiding? And therefore that would solve the problem. Whereas nowadays we don't have that way.
But that could solve the problem.
Yeah. That's the point, right? Yeah. Yeah, in the time of this marriage. And this is brought as halacha in Shulchan Aruch, that in fact for that reason a husband should not drink kinui nowadays even being a Levina.
And if he doesn't do kinui,
then stira doesn't itself in and of itself cause a problem. Omer ish lakish, my loshon kinui. What is this expression of kinui? Why are we calling it kinui anyway? The reason is, it's Dover Hamato Kina Bein Lebein Acherim. Kina, Rashi explains, besides meaning jealousy, Kina can also mean anger. Him Kinuni Bleel, for example, it says in Hazinu. The Jewish people, the Ebishter says, have made me angry with non-gods, like by worshipping things that don't even deserve to be called gods. So Kina means anger. Dover Hamato Kina Lebein Acherim. The Kinui causes anger causes friction between her and other people. Alma Kasava Kinui Al Biatme, which we see from that then that Rish Lakish holds that Kinui can be done, as we just said, according to Rav Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, even Bein Ala Bein Atme, not in the presence of Edim. The Kula Alma La Yadi La Tanila, therefore the general population does not know that there was any Kinui in the first place. But Amri, and then all of a sudden they're going to see that she's staying away from men's company, that she's being extra careful to stay away from them. But Amri, so they're going to say, my Dekama Dekabavla, what happened, what is there in front of us, like what happened all of a sudden that she's staying away? But also, Kined Bada, and that causes friction between her and them. She thinks that people are going to think that she's being antisocial. In other words, normally, yeah, there would be to a certain limited extent. I mean, you know, again, you have that the halachas of Yichud do provide. There are cases when a woman can be alone with a man or with two men or whatever, you know, the Bible of the ear and various other, Pesach Masuach, etc. You know, here people are going to see that she's being extra careful. And therefore they're going to think that all of a sudden she doesn't want to have anything to do with them, and then that's going to cause friction.
Would Stira involve, let's say, members of her family, two brothers?
It could, conceivably. We'll talk about later in the Masechta that yes, Kinui, when we get to all the details of Kinui, yes, Kinui can include that the husband can warn her, for example, don't be alone with your brother or with your father, for example, even though normally there wouldn't be an issue with them. Right, that's another example where there could be friction involved. Normally she'd be alone with her brother, there's no problem, but if her husband has any reason to suspect her of being unfaithful to him with her brother, then yeah. Yeah, that's one explanation. Rabbi Yehuda bar Rabbi Shlomi Mishmei d'Abaya. Rabbi Yehuda bar Shlomi says in the name of Abaya, a different explanation. Dover Amato Kina Beina Labeina. No, the kinnery is something that creates friction, that creates ill will between the husband and the wife. Alma Kasava Kinnery Al Pishnaim Edim, which goes to show that Abaya and Rabbi Yehuda bar Shlomi hold with the opinions in our Mishnah that kinnery requires two Edim. V'kula Alma Yodi D'Kanila. Therefore, everybody knows that he was Mekani for her. So there's no reason, not like Rish Lakish was saying that everybody's going to be wondering, hey, how come you're staying away from me? You must be antisocial. No, everybody's going to know there was a kidri. But you, it's the other way around. But you, who also lemavet kinam bada. What's going to happen is now, she is going to have friction with him. She's going to be upset with him. What all of a sudden you're being close to me? You're suspecting me that you have to be mekane to me? So therefore, it's not mato kinna with other people, but it is mato kinna between him and her. We see from that both Rish Lakish and Abaya hold that essentially you're not allowed to be Mekana. As we said at the beginning of the Masechta, that even the Torah gives the husband the ability to be Mekana, but they're saying that the Rabbanim don't want you to. What about according to the opinion that you're allowed to be Mekana, that the Chachamim did not restrict you from it? And in fact, we'll see later on the Amud, it may even be a good thing. Then according to that, what does the word Kinri mean? In that case, you have to say that the word kinuri means a warning. And thus we find in Sefer Yoel and Treyasser that there was a period, there was a plague of locusts going on in Eretz Yisrael for year after year. And finally, the Ebishter sends a nevuah with the Navi that the plague is going to be removed and you'll have peace and prosperity, etc. And the expression is Vayekane Hashem La'aretzai, which means that Hashem says, Hashem warned about his land, meaning the Ebishter is saying, the Navi is saying, in the Ebishter's name, he warned the locusts, get out of here, stop harassing the Jewish people. So Vayekane Hashem, the Ebishter warned La'aretzai concerning his land. Yeah, that's an example for yeah. That's not from our parasha, actually. That's from Toldos. But you do have examples where lamed is used in the pasuk meaning about rather than to. Yeah. Tanya, we learn a brayso. Hoyer of Meir Omer. Adam over avera b'seit. So you have a person who commits an avera in secret. The Hakadosh Baruch Hu machriz al begoli, and Eibishter arranges that it'll be announced in public. Like we have over here, a woman who's nister and may have become Tomei, and she thinks she's in hiding, nobody sees what's going on. The Ebishter puts it in her husband, the Ebishter gives her husband the idea to be Mekane to her, and therefore the whole thing becomes publicized. Shenemar, the pasuk says, "Over all of ruach kina," it says a spirit of kina passes over him. In avira ela loshen achrosa, the word of this expression, "the over all of," that passes over him. The word avira means to announce. Shenemar vayitzav Moshe vayaviru kol b'machne. Moshe announced, and they Moshe commanded that they made an announcement throughout the camp that everybody should stop bringing material for the Mishkan. So we see that Avara, we learned this in Rosh Hashanah as well. The one says Ma'avarta Shofar Tshuva, it means announcing, blowing the shofar publicly. So therefore, so the Varta is that this woman was Nifter and may have been Tameh for other all of Ruach Kina. And the Eibishter arranges that through the Ruach Kina, this should become announced and publicized.
Lashon Avera means also Lashon Avara.
Yeah. Okay. Rish Lakish Omar, famous thing. Einod over Avera Elam Ken Nichnas V'Ruach Shtus. A person does not commit an Avera unless a spirit of foolishness enters into him. Shenema, ish ki siste ishto, because the pasuk says any man, if his wife is tister, she becomes a sota, and tishtek. The pasuk it's written in the pasuk with a sin. So first of all, Marsha says the loshen is unusual anyway. If the pasuk just meant that she goes off the right path, Rashi says on the pasuk over there, tister means to go off the right path, then either the Torah could have said tite, loshen nota, to go off the path, or tister spelled with a samach. The fact that it's spelled with a sin, Marsha says, is what the Gemara is using for this Jerusha over here, that we can read it as if it's said with a shin. And Bechlau, we find in a number of places, we find Jerushas, so we'll have in a couple of days, for example, Shom Derech. There's different places in Shas and in Midrashim where the Chachamim dash in a word written with a samach, or with a sin, as if it was written with a shin, or vice versa. Yeah. So tishtek, and this famous thing that said in Tanya, what constitutes this Ruach Shtus? The idea that in and of himself a Yid would never disobey the Eibishter. A Yid nitzavil nutaken up to the sinfon erzvein from Malachus, and that's why even a kal shabakalim goes on Mesiris Nefesh to not deny the Eibishter. When it says regular Avedis also cut a person off to a certain extent from the Eibishter, if a person realized it, he would never do an Aveda. The Ruach Shtus tells him it's not so bad, it's a minor thing, whatever. Kind of Rabbi Shmuel. In the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they taught a braisa also on this topic. Why does the Torah believe one aid when it comes to the soita? And here we're talking about an aid tumma, which, as we said yesterday, everybody agrees that for tumma one aid is enough. Shiraglayim l'dava, because you have raglayim l'dava, you have a logical assumption. So yesterday we discussed how exactly we learn it from the pasuk, how exactly we learn it from the words of Eidein Vav. Here, Tanav Rabbi Shmuel is giving us a logical underpinning to that pasuk. Why indeed is the pasuk telling us that one aid is believed? Because there's a raglayim l'dava, because there's a reason to assume that something went wrong over here. Shari kinu l'vinistra. Because after all, you have, there was kinui, so there was already reason for suspicion. There was stira. And v'eidach v'mehida shitmeya. And then on top of that, you have one aid testifying that she's tamei. So the point is, even though normally B'chol HaTorah Kol Edim, you usually need two Edim, but over here, because of this Raglayim Madaber, therefore we say one Ed is enough.
You know,
it's
almost an
Ed. No, not at all. It's just the start of the process. Keep in mind, even if there was no Kinui, and even if there were no Edis Tira, if there's one Ed Tumah in general, then that's it. Then the jig is up. We're talking about over here that there was Kinui and there was Sira. But even without all that, Tuma is Tuma, yeah.
The
next part
actually is
that
Nistra
means just that there's Eders, so we talked about in the mission
that they sort of being alone now.
Alone, but not more than that. In other words, there's three different things. There's Kinui, which is the husband's warning, don't be alone with her. There's Sira, and then there's Tuma, yeah. I'm going to pop a lot by you. What are we assuming that you have first kinui and then stira and everything goes from there? In the pasuk it says it the other way around. In the pasuk it starts off ish ki siste ishto imol abemal v'shochav ishto ishto shichvasera v'neil amein ishto v'nistro v'nitzma etc. Then over all of ruach kinui v'kinei ishto. So what is the kinui? It sounds like happens after all of this, after the stira and after the potential tumor. Only then is there kinui. Only then is the husband telling her something. Amalei. So Abai answers him, V'avar. When the pasuk starts out, V'avar olav ruachin. That's okay, which is darshin, V'avar, meloshin announcement, but also in the simple meaning, V'avar means and it passes. Now, in Lashon Kodesh, you know, a vav can mean just and, or it can be a vav ahipuch, which changes past tense into future tense and future tense into past tense. When it says v'avar means ukvar avar, it doesn't mean that v'avar and there will pass, which would imply that it happens only after everything else, then Ereshki has the idea to be mekane. No, v'avar means ukvar avar. The vav here is not a vav ahipuch, it's just a vav hamachaber. And there passed. Ovar is past tense. The Ovar is still past tense. So therefore, in past tense, before all this had happened, in the past already he had been counted to her. Yeah. That's why. So what, by that logic, what about, for example, when Moshe is talking with Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven and telling them that if you go in front of the Jewish people and help them conquer Eretz Yisrael, then you will have your portion in Eretz Yarden, and it says, V'ovar lachem kol cholot, hachinami. What are you going to say there, that V'ovar is also past tense? Of course not. This is all in the future. This is all a deal for the future. And so, you know, since there the pasuk continues that the land will be conquered before the Eibishter and then you will return, which obviously that part has to be future tense. So there, by context, we say that the Avar has to mean future tense. But over here in our pasuk of Sotah, we don't have any such thing. We don't have any such implication. Therefore, we can say that it means past tense.
Even the Vav, some looking at this and looking at that.
But
it always has to be past tense.
No, but what the Vav does is, it really depends on the Nikud of the Vav, actually, but consider the word Vayomer, for example. Yomer is future tense. Vayomer becomes past tense. And it's the other way around also. Lokach is past tense. Vilokach is future tense. So it depends on the Nikudus, it depends on the grammatical form. Well, because that's the thing. Because the same word v'avar over there means future, so over here it should also. And the answer is that over there you're not just doing it based on the grammatical form of the word. It's true. Just from the dictum of the word, there is no way of telling whether v'avar means past or future tense. You have to go by context. There it has to mean future. Here there's no implication to say that it means future, so we can say it means past. The lockup is a normal expression. I don't think it says it would be the yikach if anything, but I don't think the Torah phrases it that way. It's usually the lockup.
I know I'm asking probably a silly question, but why is it that we never have that the wife is mourning the husband? Good question.
Hold on. Yeah, that's the basic thing. A husband who is mizana doesn't become officer to his wife. Before Chayim Diyar Ben Negoshim, even a husband's allowed to have more than one wife. But a woman, okay, but nevertheless, then it's a fact. You know? But a woman who is Mizana becomes also to her husband. Yeah. Wait, we'll talk about it a little more on Omer Beis, actually. Wait. So over there, necessarily, since it says Nichbasharit Lisnashem Vahat Shubu Mashma Blahba, then necessarily it has to mean the future. Elohocha, actually here it's not just because there's no implication. We can prove it from the context that Va'avar over here has to mean past tense. If you're going to say that the pasuk means va'avar in future tense, meaning that it's going in order, first the stira, then the possible tumah, and then comes the va'avar. If so, Balsa Truma Stira Kinu Lamali. Well, after Truma and Stira, why would you need Kinu at that point? If there's Stira and there may have been Truma, then she's already also to her husband. What is the Kinu accomplishing? Necessarily, we have to understand, therefore, that V'Avar has to mean previously. Okay. A man is not Mekane for his wife unless there enters into him a spirit. A spirit milamayla, basically, that the Eibishter gives him the idea, al derech, like we said before. Shenemav aval of ruach kina v'kina es ishte. It says a spirit of kina passes over him, and he then he's mekane his wife. My ruach, so what kind of ruach are we talking about? Rabbanan ami ruach tuma, Rab Ashi ami ruach tara. The Rabbanan of Rav Ashi Yeshiva said that it means a ruach tuma, so that the Eibishter sends out, so to speak, a ruach tuma, that gets into the guy and gives him the idea to be mekane to his wife. Rav Ashi himself says no, it means a ruach of Tara. Umisabra, Commander Omar Ruach Tara, and it's more logical to say like Ravashi that it's a Ruach Tara. And in fact, that Rambam brings in
Ruach Tara
meaning a spirit of purity. That in other words, according to that, it's a good thing when a man is mechanical. A purity, that's what I said. Yeah, in other words, that the Eibishter gives him, it's a positive thing. The Eibishter puts a positive idea in his head to be mechanic to his wife. And in fact, the Rambam brings at the end of Hilchos Sota and also in Hilchos Ishus that it's good for a man to be mechanic to his wife. We talked about yesterday the pros and cons. We talked about is she an Isha Kshera? In that case, then the kinui can be a good thing. Or if she's a Prutza already, then Abba, the kinui may be a bad thing. It'll cause friction, like we said before. It's not likely to help anyway. It's likely she's not going to be. Tosfos discusses it at some length over here, based on the Yerushalmi. In that case, then it may not be such a good thing to be mekaneh to her in that case. Titania, as it says in the Brayso, the kineis ishto reshus, divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel is saying that when it says the kineis ishto, it means it's optional. The husband can be mekaneh if he wants to. Rabbi Akiva says it's a requirement. So now let's consider how that relates to the machlokas of the Rabbanan and Ravashi. Iyamet b'shleim ruach tara. If you're going to say that the ruach means the spirit of tara, shapir. Okay, then a ruach tara still doesn't mean that you're obligated to do it. It means the Eibishter puts a good idea in your head. You have the option to act on it or not. Eli yamet ruach tuma. But if you're saying that the whole thing is a ruach tuma, how can you talk about whether it's a reshus or a chayva for a person to allow a ruach tumah to get into him and make him do something? So obviously both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva have to be agreeing with Ravashi that it's a ruach tara.
Because
otherwise the Eibishter wouldn't give it a reshus, wouldn't give you a reshus or a chayva to consider it. Okay, we might. That's what we're saying, and then doesn't fit with either Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Akiva.
Why?
Because then, how can you say it's a reshus to allow a ruach tumah to get into you and dictate what you're going to do? How can you say that it's a choyva yet, a requirement to follow that ruach tumah? Gufa, getting back to the actual b'raisa, and then the b'raisa brings two other mitzvahs where you have the same machloikas, two other statements in the Torah where Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva argue whether the Torah is giving you reshus or requirement. Lo yitama reshus, when the pasuk says by a kohen that he's metame for his wife and for his other six relatives, Rabbi Shmuel says that is a reshus. Rabbi Akiva I'm a chayva, and Rabbi Akiva says it's a requirement for the kohen during the time of himself for them. And a third one, the pasuk says about an eved k'nani, la'olam behem ta'avodu, you work with you have them work for you forever, you enslave them forever. Again, reshus divrei Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva I'm a chayva. Same thing, Rabbi Shmuel says it just means you can keep an eved ivri forever, an eved k'nani forever, and Rabbi Akiva says the Torah is telling you that you have to, other things being equal. Amalei Rapapa Labaya, so Va'amilei Rav Masharshi LaRava, so Rapapa Asabaya, or Rav Masharshi Asarava, Leimer Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Akiva B'chola Torah Kula Hachi Plegi. Are you telling me then that Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva have this kind of argument throughout the whole Torah? Demar Amar Rishus, Demar Amar. No, we have three examples where Rabbi Shmuel is saying something is a Rishus, and Rabbi Akiva is saying it's a Chayva. Are you telling me that they're arguing the same kind of thing in other places also? Demar Amar Rishus, Demar Amar Chayva. That Rabbi Shmuel would say that something is a Rishus, and Rabbi Akiva would say it's a Chayva. So some of Farshim explain the point of the question is, then if you're going to say that way, then it means according to Rabbi Shmuel, there are no mitzvahs at the end. The Torah, everything is a Rishus. Yeah, I mean, the same way he's saying, for example, that the kineis ishta is a reshus, and lohi tama is a reshus, and then the same thing you could say, zocher es yom shabbos lekatcher is a reshus, and that's the question. So then, what's special about these three? Other mafarshim, that's what we're going to ask. That's what we're asking. Other mafarshim say, okay, not necessarily they were talking about b'chol atar kula, but they were just talking. Are there any other cases besides these three? So Abaya answers Rapapa, or Rava answers Rameshargia. No, in these three cases are special. They're arguing over the meaning of the psukim. And before we get into the meaning of the psukim, by the way, Tosfos asks an interesting question. We know there's Taryag Mitzvahs. If Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva are arguing about these three things, whether they're Rishus or Chayva, then either Rabbi Shmuel has 613 mitzvahs and then Rabbi Akiva has 616, Or Rabbi Akiva had 613, and Rabbi Shmuel had 610. So what's going on over here? Now, I mean, you could. So Tosfos themselves answers that, okay, you have other mitzvahs, maybe that Rabbi Shmuel learns from a pasuk, and Rabbi Akiva says the pasuk is just an asmachta. I mean, we have, among the Gaonim and the Rishonim, you have a number of different opinions about the actual enumeration of the mitzvot. You have the Rambam's famous enumeration, which in turn was, he took earlier ones from the Gaonim and whatever, or Sadia Gaon, or Chofet, the Baal Halachos Gdolos and others, and argued with them, and in turn the Ramban argues with them, and the Smaga argues with them, and so forth. So there is that. There is an interesting answer that a number of Achronim give, relating specifically to Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, though. The Gemara discusses in Menachos the question, before tzitzis on a piece of clothing, so you have a mitzvah to wear tzitzis, is that one mitzvah, which has four parts, you have a mitzvah to have four tzitzis on the four corners, but it's all one mitzvah, or is it four separate mitzvahs? I'll verify tefillin, it's shoyad and shorosh, two different mitzvahs. And Rabbi Shmuel says they're four separate mitzvahs. So good, then. He says these three over here are rishos, therefore that's three subtracted from 613, but he's adding three more because you have four, because you have, besides the one mitzvah of tzitzis, according to Rabbi Akiva, you have three more according to him. Okay, so what's the implications of the pesukim? Like this. In the first one, v'kinei tishter rishos de Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Akiva v'chayva, my time is Rabbi Shmuel, so what's Rabbi Shmuel's reasoning, why he says that v'kinei tishter is only a rishos? So, v'loki haitana, because he holds like the following tana. The Tanya, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Klape Shalma Torah, considering that the Torah says, you're not allowed to hate your brother in your heart. Yachok Gonzu, so you would think the same thing in a case like this. A man sees that his wife is over Aldafia, is secluding herself with men that she shouldn't be with. You would think maybe that you shouldn't say anything to her because it would be a lack of Avat Yisrael. Therefore, the Pasuk gives him permission to. So therefore, that's what Rabbi Shmuel is saying. It's not a chayva. The Torah is saying this is an exception to the usual rule of Avas Yisrael. You have permission to talk to her. Rabbi Akiva, what would Rabbi Akiva answer?
Which could say that it is Avas Yisrael.
Okay. Fine, okay. Whatever, but let's see. Okay, yeah. But we said before, it creates a certain sin. It creates a certain friction between them. Okay. Rabbi Akiva, what would Rabbi Akiva answer to that? He would say, Kinyan Achrinuk. Fine, but the Torah says twice kinui. The overall of ruach kinei v'kinei yisishto v'hinitma. The overall of ruach kinei v'kinei yisishto v'hinitma. So double expression. One tells us that we're overriding by that, and the other one tells us the chiyuv. What would Rabbi Shmuel answer to that? He would say, look, since the pasuk has to mention the two possibilities, that she became tamei or that she did not become tamei, because that's the whole point. We have a suffix. That's what triggers the whole thing of drinking the meisota. So therefore, the pasuk also repeats the kineas ishto for each of them. Just, that's the style, basically. Look at the Tanad Rabbi Shmuel, and like Tanad Rabbi Shmuel themselves teach, the Tanad Rabbi Shmuel, called parsha shenamar v'nishnes. Whenever you have a parsha in the Torah that was said in one place and then repeated in another place, lo nishnes al b'shmol dover shenis chadash bar. It's only repeated because of some chiddush in it. But meaning, in other words, not necessarily is every detail of it going to be something that we can darshan something from. It may just be that the whole thing has to be repeated because there's one particular detail we wouldn't have known from the first place. But the rest of the details that I mentioned over there, which are just repeated from the first one, okay, it's just a fire stick. Dibur Torah kolosham le'adam. Okay, that's the first one. Next, Lohi Tamei Rishus De Rebbe Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva HaChoyva. The second one we had is that the Kohen becoming Tamei for his wife, that again, or his other relatives, that again, Rabbi Shmuel says the Rishus, and Rabbi Akiva says the HaChoyva. My time is Rabbi Shmuel, so what's Rabbi Shmuel's reason? He says like this, I did achtiva mor al-kohen b'nei Aaron v'amart alem l'nefesh l'itam v'amok. Since the Pasuk says that to Moshe speak to the Kohenim and tell them don't become Tamei by any dead body, so therefore, again, the pasuk has to tell us there's an exception to that. You can become tamei for your relatives, not necessarily as a mitzvah. They're not necessarily you're required to. Rabbi Akiva, what would Rabbi Akiva answer to that? He would answer mikiim l'sheira nafka. He would answer that yes, but the pasuk continues over there kiim l'sheira, except for his relatives, and it lists the six relatives. And therefore, lo yitama lomali, so what does the pasuk need to finish off lo yitama? Obviously, that must mean l'choiva, the Talmud says that you were actually required to. Where's Rabbi Shmuel? Would answer that the law teaches us a different din. Lo mitame ve'en mitame la'evarel. The Kohen can only become tame for his wife, for his other relatives, as a whole body, but not for individual evarim. which Rashi explains. We learned in Nazir, for example, that an Aver Menachai, a complete limb that comes off a living person, is Metame, if it has both of a Gidim Bat Tomet and has a certain minimum size, and a Kohen is not allowed to become Tomet for it, even though it's his relative. Rabbi Akiva, what would Rabbi Akiva answer to that? He would say, "In came Lister Rachman Allah." Fine, if that's the case, all the pasuk needed was the word law, the lishnik, and then the pasuk does not need to add anything else. And from law, we would learn it has to be her as a whole, not just an individual aver. Yitama lomli. So what does it say? Yitama. Shmamina. That means that it must be to teach us that you're required to be matame for her. Rabbi Shmuel, and again Rabbi Shmuel would answer, I did the Kosev law, Kosev Nami Yitama. Again, you could say, once the Pasuk had to write law, which again we said that both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva have their reasons why it says law, in order to learn, actually they're both agreeing then, that law is to teach us that you only Matama for a whole body, not for an Aver. Kosev Nami Yitama, so then the Pasuk finishes off Yitama. Again, the Tanit V'Rabbi Shmuel. Again, it's based on what Tanit V'Rabbi Shmuel says. The Tanit V'Rabbi Shmuel, Kol Parsha Shenem V'Nishnes, Lo Nishnes Sadal B'Shvil Davashen Eschadish Bo. That the Torah may repeat something and add one detail, and the rest of it is just there for stylistic, in order to have a Lashon HaPasuk. So it's not necessarily are we learning anything extra from the word Yitama. That's number two. Number three. La'olam b'hem ta'avodu rishus. We said that as far as an eved k'nani, the pasuk says you have them work for you forever. That is rishus. Give Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, and Chayva. My time is Rabbi Shmuel. So what's Rabbi Shmuel's reason why he says that it's only a rishus? He says like this: I did give lo tchaya kol neshama. Now we have given that there's a pasuk elsewhere in the Torah that says you're not allowed to leave alive any of the seven nations of Canaan. It's Yuchnami L'mistav, La'olam b'hem ta'avodu. Therefore, the Pasuk has to, over here, tell us that you're allowed to work, you're allowed to have an Eved K'nani work for you. L'mishri Echa Mikol Omet Shabala K'nanis V'Holid Men Abayn. Because we need a special heter, we need the Pasuk to be telling us a heter for the case where a member of some other nation, not one of the seven nations of Canaan, married or had relations with a K'nanis, with some other nation, one of the other 63 nations in the world, had relations or married a K'nanis V'Holid Men Abayn, and had a son with her, Shatar Ashoi L'Knoisei, that you're allowed to buy that child. He's not considered a Knani who's under the rule of Loisachaya Kol Neshama. Zitanya, as in fact we learn in the Braisa, Minayin La'echem in Omer Shabal Knanis V'Holim Men Abayin. How do we know that if a man from some other nation has relations with a Knani woman, or any of the seven nations, we're using Knani in the more general sense of all the seven nations, V'holid men abdain, and they had a son, Shatar Ashoi L'Knois of Eved, that you're allowed to buy that son as an Eved. He's not subject to the rule like the Chayek on the Shalma, that he has to be wiped out. Talmud Lomer, that's why the Pasuk says, V'gam b'bnei ha'teshavim, also from those who are resident, ha'gorim imachim, who live among you in Eretz Yisrael, mehem tiknu, from them you can buy. Now what do we mean when we say the goyim who are living among us in Eretz Yisrael? It can't mean the actual seven nations themselves, the Lois Chaya Kol Neshama. It has to mean a case like what we just described. You have a man from some other country who came to Eretz Yisrael, married or had relations with Canaanites over there. They had a son. He went back to his homeland. She's living over there with her son. She's under Lois Chaya Kol Neshama. The son is you're allowed to have it in Eved.
If she has a daughter.
Same thing.
She has to be
killed. Yeah, she'd be one of the yeah. Well, she'd be subject to the usual. We learned in Yerushalmi and Shkalim that before the Jewish people invaded Eretz Yisrael, Yeshua sent three options to the goyim living over there. You have your trilo. You have your choices. You can accept the Shevet of Bnei Noach, and you're allowed to live here. You can leave, or you can fight. So the Girgashim chose to leave, and the Eved rewarded them by making them able by bringing them to a land, a particularly fertile part of Africa. By the way, I don't want to get too far off topic, but there's an interesting thing. There's a story in about 1,500 years ago, a fellow named Procopius. He wrote a history of the empire, the Byzantine Empire of his time, including that at one point they invaded and conquered North Africa. he mentions that he saw over there, a monument that the people had set up over there, saying that we came to this land after the robber Yoshua ben Nun kicked us out of our land. And it was actually written. I mean, this is 1,500 years ago, so it's not in existence nowadays. But you can read it in this guy's history. Yes. Anyway, so that's the Gilgoshim. None of the people originally took on this idea of accepting the Shevet Mitzvah Nenech. Later on, the Givonim played a trick on Bnei Yisrael, pretended they were from a faraway country, and wound up doing that. And all the rest of the nations went to fight against the Yidden. And many of them got killed, as it describes in the case of Yoshua, and then there were remnants of them, and they're still in Eretz Yisrael for hundreds of years because the Jewish people didn't finish the job of wiping them out.
No,
they knew good and well. They just once the initial conquest was over, people wanted to settle down and a great deal in Sefer Shoftim. It describes how they just sent a malach to tell them that you guys messed up. You were supposed to wipe out the seven nations. You didn't, and now from now on you're gonna have trouble from them. Yeah.
Yeah, wish to kill Goyim and Lulav.
Jewish people are Rachmanim by Shonim and Gom Lachsadim, right? Yeah.
Probably
true. Yeah. Okay, anyway. So, Yochol Afa Knani Shabal Achas Menomus. You would think maybe it's the other way around. If a Knani man has relations with a woman from some other nation, Beholid Menabain, and they have a son, Shafir Asher Leknois of Eved, you would think maybe also you're allowed to buy that son as an Eved. No, Tamavai Masha Lidu Ba'aretzchem. No, therefore the pasuk says the ones who are born in your country, which means Minanelodim Ba'aretzchem V'lo Minagdorim Ba'aretzchem. The ones who are born in your country, but not the ones who live in your country. Meaning, in other words, normally when a man marries a woman from a different nation, he usually brings her to live where he is. So if a man from some other nation, if a man from Babel, for example, comes to Eretz Yisrael and marries a Canaanite woman, the pastor, he's going to take her back to his homeland, the Babel, and their son is going to grow up there. That son, even though his mother is a Canaanite, you're allowed to, he was born in Eretz Yisrael, let's say, but he's not living there. He's not, and therefore the pasuk is implying that there's no problem with him. As opposed to the other way around, a Canaanite man married, let's say, a Babli woman, then you'd have the other way around. They're living in Eretz Yisrael. The child might have been born in Babel, but eventually they're making their home in Eretz Yisrael, and that child is considered part of the seven nations. And therefore, they would have Tzloisachayach on the Shama. They have the same three choices as any other county. By the way, Tosfos points out that from this Gemara is the source for the basic concept that we have that in general that when it comes to goyim, you go according to the father. We know when you have a Jew and a goy intermarried, Rachman al-Islam, that the child goes according to the mother. If the mother is Jewish, the child is Jewish, and if not, then not. With goyim, when you have one goy marrying or having relations with another goy, the child's status goes according to the father, because that's what we see over here. If the father is a Canaanite, the child is a Canaanite, and if the father is not a Canaanite, then neither is the child. Okay. So anyway, so Rabbi Shmuel would say... Anyway, the point is, Rabbi Shmuel is saying that is why we need the pasuk la'olam behem ta'avodu, not to tell us that it's a mitzvah that you must keep an eved knani forever, but to tell us to clarify for us this whole business: what's considered an eved, what's considered a knani who you have to wipe out, and what's not considered a knani who you're allowed to buy as an eved. So what would Rabbi Akiva answer to that? He would say, Mehem Tiknu Nafka. Fine, but you can learn all that from the words, Mehem Tiknu, that you can buy from them. La'olam Behem Ta'avodu Lomali. So what would you need the pasuk La'olam Behem Ta'avodu for? Obviously, L'chayva, to tell us that it's a requirement to keep an Eved Kanani as an Eved. And by the way, I mean, that chayva, I mean, there are exceptions to that. We'll learn in a couple of months in Gittin, there's a whole sugya about the dinim of an Eved Kanani. There are exceptions. There's a famous example, for example, of Rabbi Eliezer, who one time he comes to shul with his Eved, and there's not enough people there for a minion, so he's meshachra him, and that way they have a minion. Not Tavi, that's the slave of Rabbi Gamliel. This is of Rabbi Eliezer. But ordinarily it's a chayva, yeah. What would Rabbi Shmuel answer that? He would say, Bahem v'loi ba'achechem. Yes, but there's something else that we have to learn from the word Bahem. We have to learn, Bahem, you're allowed to have an Eved Kanani work for you forever, but not your brothers. Or Rashi says a little bit differently. Rashi says that the vote is that Bahem, you're allowed to have an Eved Kanani do avoidas oven, the kind of demeaning work that you would have a slave do for you. Untie your shoes, for example, carry your clothes to the bathhouse and things like that. Veloy ba'achechem, you're not allowed to have an Eved Ivri do demeaning jobs like that. What would Rabbi Akiva answer to that? He would say, Ba'achechem is safer, the Quran asks. Fine, you don't need that. You don't need to derive that from Bahem. You have the next part of the Pasuk. Ba'achechem b'nei Yisrael ishbach b'nei Yisrael b'nei Yisrael. It says clearly in the Pasuk. Among with your brothers, b'nei Yisrael, one man and his fellow man, his brother, you should not make him work with Farach. You should not make him work in Avodas Farach. Rabbi Shmuel, and what would Rabbi Shmuel answer to that? Okay, I did chesiv uvachechem. Okay, but given that the pasuk has to say uvachechem, chesiv nami bohem. Then also the pasuk says bohem again. The tana of Rabbi Shmuel, kol parsha shenemar v'nishnas, v'nishnas tala b'shul b'vashnas chadishva. Same idea that not necessarily is every word of the pasuk meant for a drasha. Okay. Now that we're over that, the Gemara is going to go into a little bit of a gata. On the topic of znus, which is what we're dealing with over here. Omer of Chista, znus of a base of kikaria l'shum shema. Znus in the house is like a worm in sesame seeds. Which means, Pashat, you know, like you have a worm that eats up the seeds and then there's nothing left of them. And in fact, some of the Mepharshim point out what happens with these kinds of worms. They eat the seeds sort of like from the inside out. They start growing inside it. And you eat and eat and eat until at the end, you know, it looks like everything's okay. But meanwhile, the whole thing has been eaten out from the inside. Yeah. For Amr of Chista, and of Chista also said, Tukpa bebeisa kikari l'shom shema. Also, anger in the house is like a worm in sesame seeds. As the Gemara points out, Ivi Itza, both of those apply only to the woman if she's mizana or if she's getting angry. But with the husband we don't have those issues. Now why is that? Rashi starts by saying like this. Hold on. There's a lot we can talk about it, but we do have to keep it brief because we have a daft to finish. But let's see what we can do. Rashi says, first of all, when the woman is mizana or she's very quick to anger, then she's the main one around the house. So therefore, then she gets busy with her znus or she's too upset or whatever. So therefore, the house sort of falls apart. But the husband is not the ikar bias in that sense, and therefore less so. Different Mepharshim talk about different other possibilities in those. Some of the Mepharshim also talk about that later on, they point to later on in the second parak, the Gemara points out the famous thing about Ish, the Isha Zahu, Shekhinah Beinehem, that when an Isha and an Isha live together in harmony, they have the Shekhinah, so they have the Yud of the man and the Hay of the woman. But when you get down to, and if not, then the Yud goes away and the Hay goes away and all you have is Ish. Aish and Aish, and then therefore they devour each other. But you see, the Gemara says, in a woman, the letters Aish are together. Isha is spelled Aleph Shin He. So therefore, like the fire of anger or the fire of znus can be much more powerful in a woman than in a man, and therefore it has more devastating effects on the house. Out in the other room, there's these Shiurim Alagores Chazal. This is this multi-volume set. Agadja, and they have an interesting take on it. They say the vort is, it's true, if the husband is easy to anger or mizana, then you have big problems also. But the difference is, the woman, a lot of times, will have the ability to get him back on the right path, and therefore to fix things up. Whereas if it's the other way around, if it's she who's doing that, then you have, then the husband may not have the ability to correct the situation.
That's why I call it a...
Shaking the shower, exactly. That's what we said yesterday. Shave it, yeah. That a shave it can be to support or to beat, yeah, as the case may be. And practically speaking, also, I mean, just as a simple matter of halacha, there is the fact, you know, if the woman is mizana, that's it. She's also to her husband. That's, you know, you were asking before, why is it there's no kinui the other way around? If the woman's mizana, she's also to her husband. If the husband's mizana, it doesn't necessarily break up the household because it doesn't make him also to her. And remember also, you know, in halacha, only the man has the power to give a get. before Chayim Derabana Gershon can be done against the woman's will, after Chayim Derabana Gershon, you need her consent, but still a woman can't initiate a get on her own, it has to be via the husband. Yeah, okay, you have the case in the Rambam over there, that's Kofino section, Rodosani, etc., if the husband is doing these things, not necessarily is it going to lead to the breakup of the marriage and the breakup of the household, because it's not like necessarily she may have the ability to demand or even to ask for a gift. And the same thing with Cass. With that said, by the way, one more thing to point out is the same Rav Chista who's saying this, it also says in Gittin that La'olam al yatzal adam emi yisera b'seich beisei, he says a man should be very careful not to get too angry and get his household, the members of his household afraid of him, because look at what happened with Pelegish Begiva. Pelegish Begiva led to a civil war where tens of thousands of Jews were killed from Shevet Binyamin and from all the other Shvatim. And how did it all begin? With a man who got so upset with his wife, that it was Pelegish actually, that she ran away and he had to go find her and so forth. So the idea would be that, in other words, we're not saying Avogadro left one, but we don't mean that if the husband gets too angry or is mizana, there's no consequences at all, but it's not necessarily a consequence for the household. There can be much bigger consequences, though, in the wider world. Originally, before the Jewish people did Averis, specifically Rashi says in Arayas, the Shechina rested by every person in every household. The Pasuk says, Hashem walks among your camp. Once they were choyte, and the Shechina left them. The Pasuk continues over there, that the Eibishter should not see an improper matter, a matter of error among you. Arayas, it says over here. Yeah. And then he'll turn away from following you, from being with you. Anybody who does one mitzvah in this world, that mitzvah precedes him and walks ahead of him in Olam Haba, like to announce the way for him, kind of. The Pasuk says that your tzedek will walk before you. Anybody who commits one aveda in this world, then it wraps him around like a snake, like a lavush. And it walks in front of him for the yom adin. Shenema, Pasuk says yulafsu orchus darkam. They get wrapped around. Yulafus vayachadish by yulafus means like to grab a hold. Yulafsu orchus darkam. They get surrounded. They get encircled by the rays of their path. Yalu batoyu. They go up in toyu, meaning in Gehenna. Vayovu, and they get lost. So we see this idea that the aveda like kind of encircles the person. And Marsha says, by the way, the difference between the mitzvah and the aveda is the mitzvah only has to walk in front of the person because it's to take him to good. A person doesn't need to be schlepped along to good. He'll go naturally. The mitzvah just has to, so to speak, show him the way. The aveda has to kind of grab a hold of him because otherwise the person's not going to naturally want to go. There are mafarshim, by the way, we talk about that the mitzvah achas over here, then the mitzvah without specifying means tzedakah. And aveda without specifying means nus. So therefore we're talking specifically tzedakah versus nus. Other mafarshim talk about more the idea that a person should have at least one mitzvah that they do to perfection, and that's the one mitzvah we're talking about over here. They bring actually a vote from the Rambam, but when we say, what's the idea? The Eibishter gave us a lot of mitzvahs. That way, inevitably, there's going to be one mitzvah that a person does to perfection. Rabbi Eliezer says, the Aveda is tied to the person like a dog. When dogs mate, they're stuck together for a while afterwards. It's an embarrassment for the dog. Everybody sees that they've been mating. So that aveda is tied to the person like a dog. Shenema, like Shoma Etzla, as the Pasuk says by Yosef and Potiphar's wife, he didn't listen to her. Lishkav Etzla, to lie with her. Liyosimla, to be with her. What does that mean? Lishkav Etzla ba'olam hazeh, means he didn't want to lie with her in this world. Liyosimla la'olam hazeh, because he didn't want to be with her, like stuck with her in Olam Haba. Now, we learn in Mishnah later on, finished with the Agata now, getting back to the whole question of Pinui Sfira and Tumah. Shahaya Bedin, it says later on in the Masechta, that you would think of Kavachomer as follows. Madach, the first Eidos, meaning the Eidos of Stira, which that Eidos in and of itself is not after her forever, because she can drink the maid sota and she'll be mutter to her husband. And yet it's not established by less than two Eidim, according to Rabbi Yeshua in our Mishnah. So the second Eidos, meaning the Eidos of Tumah, which asks her forever to her husband, and to the boil, by the way, wouldn't you think all the more so that you need at least two Eidim to establish it?
Coming back to
this discussion. That's why the Pasuk says the Eid Einba, meaning Kol Sheyeshba, meaning any kind of Eid that there is, any kind of Eidus there is against her, of Eid Tuma is Ne'eman. We said before, the Eid Einba means there aren't two, but there's one. So then you would ask the Kavachomer, the Eidus of the Shodim after. Well, based on that, then, shouldn't we say the Kavachomer the other way around for the first Eidus, so the Eidus of Sira? Or Ma Eidus Achrona Shaysata is the Olam Eskayemus Be'ed Echon. If the Eidus of Tuma, which afters her forever, can be established by one Eid, Eidus of the Shodim Shayne Sata is the Olam, so the first Eidus of Sira, which does not after her forever, because of the Sota water, Eidus didn't just kind of Be'ed Echon. How much more so it should be established by one Eid, like Rabbi Yezer says? So why is Rabbi Yeshua saying two? No, therefore the Pasuk says about a husband that he finds in his wife an erva of a matter. Elsewhere the Torah says based on two or three edim of thing, a matter is established. So we make a gzeira shava of the two words dover, we said before on bezim and bez. Just like the dover over there, Dini Mominus, for example, requires two edim. The same thing over here, the Eide Seder requires two Eidim. The Gemara asks why? Haimi Kimotsuba Ervas Dover Nachter. Haimi Kimotsuba Ervas Dover Nachter. What are you talking about? You're saying that we learned this concept that you need two Eidim for Seder from Kimotsuba Ervas Dover? Mibba Nachter. We learned it yesterday. The Gemara had learned it from the word Ba. What was the ball over there? The eight ain't buff the healing is buffer. We said over there, bubble over kinu, bubble over stira. So we learned from that you need two agent for that you need two agent for stira. What are we all of a sudden learning from the Xeter Shava of Dover Dover? The answer is Hochinami, comma. You're right. Actually that's what the Mishnah means. Where taka do we learn that you need two agent for stira? Talmud Lama Bavala Bikini Vlavala Distira. But then the Mishnah is continuing. We're doing kind of a Chassidic Nechzer over here. We're saying as if the Mishnah is missing words. The Tuma, the Alma, the Loi Kinu, the Loi Stira, the Lama Haman, Edecha Menolam. How do we know that in general, without Kinu, without Stira, if there were to be Tuma, how do we know that one aid would not be believed? Nemak, that's where we use the Gzeir Shabbat. Nemak kan ki motzav erves dover, v'nem lalam al pishnayim edim ayach v'shleish edim yachum dover, ma dover hal v'lalam edim shnayim, af kan edim shnayim. So that's what it is then. So actually, the Mishnah left out then part of the argument. The actual, that you need two edim for Sphira, we're not learning from dover, that we're learning from Bok, from the mere Bok. That you need two edim for Tuma when there was no Kinuri and when there was no Sphira, that you're learning from the Gzeir Shabbat dover. And Tana Rabbanan, Ezer Eidus or Roshonah is Eidus Stira, Eidus Achrena is Eidus Tumah. The Eidus or Roshonah means the Eidus of Stira, and Eidus Achrena means Eidus Tumah.